thought of, is there a new sound for the new year? And I had the thought, or was I projecting that onto you?
Well, I looked at you. I did look at you because I was like, first podcast of 2018, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
And is there something new that wants to come forward?
I think there is.
I went straight down to my second chakra.
I saw you wiggle in your chair a little. So, something wants to be born.
Is it down here? Is it like,
I think that's what it
that
is.
That feels like a good 2018 sound.
That's what it is. If I know us, it'll turn into many different sounds as it goes.
Well, that's a good sound there. That's what good sounds do, is they turn into many different other sounds.
Hi, friends.
Oh.
Here we are.
Get into our arms. And by arms, I mean our voices. I mean the hug that exists inside our mere dialogue.
I often feel hugged by the timbre of your voice.
All the timbre of my voice wants to do is embrace you.
It's true. It's true. It's like a slow dance of ecstasy.
Oh. Guys, get into our slow dance of ecstasy.
2018. It's already starting so sexy and fun. As it should.
As it should. And friends, today, as we embark on our very first podcast of 2018, we thought it'd be fun to kind of look at the lessons of 2017 as like creating the foundation, the jumping off point from which we will embark in 2018.
Almost feels like one of those races where there's four people running the race and people are stationed at different parts and they pass the baton to each other.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like we want to think of 2017 as one of the prior race runners that has now handed a baton over, and now 2018 is going to take over, but it gets to take over from the place of the foundation of 2017. And I know for many of us that I've been speaking to here in New York recently, 2017 felt like a heck of a year. It felt transformative. It felt like the fire. It just felt like all the stuff came to the surface. Not to say that all of those things weren't always there working silently in the basement, but now it's like the explosion happened and consciousness has risen and a lot of things just came to the surface this year, a lot of change. And that can feel liberating and it can feel scary and it can feel all kinds of things.
It can feel destructive. I mean, I feel like a lot of people mentioned the word fire when it came to 2018. You know,
17.
So sorry, when it came down to 2017.
You're so present. That's what I love about
you. I just already want to
so
be,
present.
I'm like, I'm in the new year already. No, but a lot of people use the word fire when they're talking about 2017, right? Of some sort of, like, and it seemed like there were so many things happening in the world. So, you know, the micro is always macro and vice versa. So how do all of these big things going on in the world, and what about the things that were going on in our own lives? And because we know we are all connected, Natalie and I know as we talk about the personal things that came up in our own lives and our personal lessons, that because you are just me in another body, this will resonate. So here we go.
Here we go. And it often happens with Kristen and I that we will say to each other, you know, what's your curriculum or what's coming up right now or what are you working on right now? And it's always fascinating how we will always notice that we end up in a similar place with a similar lesson, but it always seems to come out of two different doors.
That's right.
So on the surface, it seems like we're working on different things, learning different things. Our lives might look different. Partnerships might look different. Everything might look different, but it always tends to point to the same lesson.
Yes.
So I'm fascinated as we talk about our lessons of 2017, the links that we will get to share.
Yeah, no, that's always exciting, and it's very true that it's that we will often be in conversation and go, oh, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you and I are really dealing with the same thing in different disguises.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And if it's happening with us, we know it's just happening.
Yeah.
It's just the thing that happens.
It's what is on.
It is what is on. So, Kristen Hange, you beautiful goddess, tell me. Well, first of all, I would love to have you share, and I'll share. Kristen and I like to declare words that are intentional for our years.
Yeah.
And I believe we actually chose similar words in 2017.
That's right.
What would you like to share with us was your word for 2017, or words?
Yeah, well, goddess energy was the what we were playing with. And it's so interesting that, like, you know, you and I both talked about the year of the goddess. And I feel like I also was playing with, like, the year of the outrageous goddess, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, we even talked with sometimes this year about the obscene goddess.
Yes, and the audacious
the goddess. The audacious goddess, uh-huh. yes.
The rebellious yes, goddess. Yes,
goddess, right. And it's very interesting that this year studying the goddess was also this year where we started to see the rise of the divine feminine, right?
Yeah, very
and,
much so.
In the Me Too movement, in kind of like these cracks in the patriarchy, with there being more opportunities now for women to be in, like, lead roles as directors and writers. Hollywood is hiring them like never before. Mm. So a way of, like, standing for the goddess within.
And the resurgence of the importance of honoring Mother Earth energy.
Yes.
And all of that mother, that nurturing, the earth, the pollution, all of that also coming to
yeah,
the surface.
Mother Earth was not messing around. Mother Earth was an audacious goddess
That's
this year.
Right.
Like, she was pissed.
She was pissed.
And was pissed in hurricanes and fires, and mm-hmm. she was loud, and she was demanding attention, right?
Yeah.
So she was actually, Mother Earth was saying no more this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a spiritual teacher that I see on the regular who's lovely and inspiring and intuitive, and he shared with me, and I will find out from him more details about where this came from. He said it in passing, and I was like, what just came out of your mouth? But he said that 2012 was a changing point where the 5,700 years leading up to 2012, the dominant energy on the planet was a masculine rule,
mm-hmm.
and meant to be so.
Yeah.
And then in 2012, we began a switchover period.
Yes.
Where for the next 5,700 years, we're going into a dominant feminine energy. And of course, we know that we live in the duality of each, but it's more that the masculine energy of building and passion and just the way that energy shows up of the building of certain structures. And then kind of from 2012 onwards, it's been, well, all the structures that now no longer fit with that feminine hand, which is also equality and harmony and nurturing, all of those things start to fall. All of those towers start to cave, and we start to see a new insurgence of energy. So it is a really exciting time, and so I'm glad that we both chose to focus on goddess. I just feel like we always will naturally,
yes.
from this moment on, but that was a really powerful thing to focus on.
Well, and also, you know, goddess, I know you and I were both working on that, takes to its heart a certain amount of self-care.
Yes.
A certain amount of self-nurturing, a certain amount of listening from within.
Mm.
So there's also that, like, acknowledging the sacred in your divine self and what that needs and how to honor it.
It was beautiful. A learning that I took from having a year of the goddess was listening.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the goddess is the creature that you know we come to worship and seek counsel and seek wisdom and intuition from, right? And so the goddess inside all of us that is there silently ready to bestow wisdom, ready to bestow the next right step, the right action, if we're only willing to listen and to show up at the seat of the goddess and say, show me
right.
what you're here to teach me.
That's right.
The other word that I chose to focus on this year, which was really interesting and brought up a lot, was autonomy. And I chose that word because I have been someone my whole life who's been so good at partnering. And I love partnering. And, like, literally I have, like, had a boyfriend or someone in my life since I was 13 years old. Like, I just, as soon as I could possibly have a partner, I wanted one. That just always felt right to me. But then I got to this moment in life of, but outside of the influence of someone else, who am I? And you know how it was showing up for me and I knew I was out of alignment with my own autonomy? Was that if someone would say, Natalie, where do you want to eat for lunch? My instinct answer is, well, I don't care, wherever you want. And that was the truthful answer. The truthful answer is, I didn't really care. But it started getting me to ask the question of, well, if I was eating lunch by myself, where would I want to eat lunch? Because I'm not asking myself the question because I'm always so flexible and adaptable to whoever I'm with. So for me, it wasn't about moving away from relationship. As a matter of fact, I moved closer in all of my relationships this year. But because I was able to show up in the relationships from a place of both people being valued equally and both people having an equal voice, and it really did allow me to know myself in ways that I didn't know myself, know my preferences, know my values in a way that I actually hadn't considered. So it was a really, really healthy practice for me, and working with the energy of the goddess and sort of a reverence of myself and my taking care of myself actually helped me take a stand for autonomy in times when, you know, my teacher, Christy Marsden, has this great quote that says, when people pleasers stop people pleasing, people won't be pleased. And I think when you do take a stand for your own autonomy, in a sense, people that are used to you just doing what they like you to do, mm-hmm. or what you've always done, go, well, hey, this, why is this happening? Don't you usually just do what I want? Yeah. I like it better the other way.
Yes.
And they are not wrong, because you've created a dynamic together where you've been there almost in a service mode. And so then when you change the dynamic, they also deserve the dignity of their feelings of saying, I just prefer the other way. And learning how to hold that and say, well, of course you do. And I value and honor your ability to move through this new dynamic, while still knowing it's okay to hold my center.
That's
and
right.
It's still okay to do what feels right for me, even in the face of non-agreement or the face of people having their own feelings, maybe even saying, that doesn't work for me, I don't want this relationship anymore. We have the right to say, and I value that, and I value your right to that, and I get to have the autonomy of what feels good to me as well.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a thing, too, that, you know, you and I have both been talking about codependency a lot this year. And what's really interesting is when we tune into other people to, like, almost like to take our temperature. Have you ever heard that saying, like, you want to be a thermostat, not a thermometer?
Ooh!
So a thermometer takes the temperature of the outside. A thermostat sets the temperature from within, right? So it sets, like... And so the thing that happens if when you're taking the temperature of how is the world or how are other people, and then taking that as our cue of how to behave, we're not doing that beautiful step of stepping in to listen, right? So one of the things that I wrote down was Purusha as guide. So as the light within, as my guide. And that was like a really exciting and beautiful thing to go, when I tune in, is when I can hear the voice of spirit, the voice of the goddess, the voice of how this light reveals itself to me, so that I can take action from that place, as opposed to tuning into the world and taking action in response to them, right?
Mm.
So we all want to live our most authentic selves, and that authentic self is really the self that is in alignment with that light. Now, the great thing about that light is that it really does have a job it wants to do on the planet. That light has a mission.
Mm.
And so while we can feel inauthentic or incongruent when we're out in the world, is there's this thing inside that burns because it came here with a gift to give.
Right.
Right? And that gift is not only for the world, but it's also for ourselves. So when we're not tuning into that light, we don't get that gift for ourselves.
Right. And so that's when it gets really, really important to be in an autonomous relationship, even with your own Purusha.
Yes.
Even with your own dream, even with your own gift. I think many of us put pressure or expectation or neediness or codependency even on our own talents, and then we get out of alignment with listening. What does it want to do? How does it want to express itself? How do I want to move with that idea?
Yes.
And it becomes a beautiful dance that you are doing with your dream, a beautiful partnership that you have with your dream. One thing that you mentioned was congruence, and that really came clear to me this year too, in terms of one thing I was working a lot with is, what is the truth? There's a beautiful expression in yoga, and the English translation from the Sanskrit is, your truth is real, reality changes,
mm-hmm.
people change,
mm-hmm.
your dream changes. And so knowing what the truth is being present to a present moment, knowing that a truth can change, as you evolve. And the truth isn't wrong for changing, and it doesn't mean it wasn't a truth. It's one thing that we like to say is that when your ego voice is talking, it's always going to change its mind.
Yes.
And that's how you know it's not the truth.
Yeah.
But the truth isn't changing its mind or contradicting itself. It's expanding and evolving and unfolding.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between something that kind of goes back and forth or something that rises up.
Yes.
And so starting to have the discernment and relationship with maybe I came into my dream or came into my life with a certain vision. And as I unfold, as more of my authentic self comes to the table, that vision might change. And can I be brave enough and willing enough to say I'm willing to change with it?
Ooh, I love that. Yes.
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 Yes. So many things this year.
Well, you know, it's like the natural course of who we are is an evolution, right? So we're always going to be changing. And that's part of the listening, right? Is I need to be listening so that I can be in touch with what is trying to come through at this moment. You know, people talk about ambition and how it's not a bad thing. It's a holy thing, right? Ambition or change or growth, it's the forefront of the divine trying to grow us, right? And so when we're in that listening mode is when we can allow for that change to occur. So often what can happen in relationships sometimes is we want our partner or our best friend or a coworker or collaborator to be who they are and to never change.
Right.
Right? Right?
Stay this way for me. This works for me.
Yeah, this works for me. But if we really love someone, what we desire most for them is for them to evolve, for them to change, for them to be on the precipice of who they are now becoming. And that takes a lot of space and a lot of grace.
Well, and also if we ever put our partnerships in a space where I would feel better and safer if you didn't change, and they agree, then we put the same shackles on ourselves. And if our dharma and our purpose on this planet is to continue to create and evolve and push forward the human condition and push forward our ideas and create what has not been here before, then we cannot keep living a story that has already been. We have to write a new story every day.
Right. And so that takes tuning in every day, right, to hear what is that new story that wants to be told now. One of the lessons I felt this year was about freedom and self-responsibility. You know, we had a podcast a little bit a while back where we were talking about the reason that we can get into transactionalism with people is because we're actually not giving unconditionally to ourselves.
Right.
Right. And so this year, I feel like I really studied, like, what is the nature of freedom? Like, the freedom that that the universe gives us, right? The freedom that we have within. And the freedom that we live our relationships or our projects in, and then how that freedom is also a beautiful responsibility for ourselves, right? That we have this gift of freedom of our lives, right? We talk often about our lives being like this blank canvas. What do you want to create with it? What do you want your life to look like? And if we haven't fully inherited that gift, we then don't know how valuable that gift is.
Right.
So we have to fully receive the gift of that freedom, of this blank canvas, of this ability to create, and say, so now that I know I have this gift to create, then what becomes my responsibility as the receiver of this gift? Right?
I often think the word responsibility gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
I think people think responsibility feels like obligation or having to do something, or there's like work involved somehow. And I like to think about the difference between a reaction and a response, right? And a reaction feels like something comes at me and then I react to it. But it feels like it's out of my control in a certain way. It feels like it just bombards me, or it feels like a, you know, we know what that feels like when you get into a reactionary state where life happens and you react.
Yes.
And it always feels like you're playing catch up. You don't feel like you're powerfully creating anything. You just feel like you're just like, you go to work, you pay your bills. You go to work again, you pay your bills again. But you're just treading water. You're never really getting ahead of anything.
Yeah.
I feel like responding to something or responsibility is saying, I'm going to get ahead here in terms of let me take a stand that I am a powerful creator. And as I take that stand, then I respond to life, and life responds to me as what I have declared myself to be. So no longer is life telling me who I am and I react to it, but I create a relationship with life where it is always responding to me as what I say I am, and that is truly freedom.
That is, and that is sexy. That is like, I mean, to me, that is the goddess energy. That is creative energy. That is, you know, I remember hearing the spiritual teacher says, I say to the mountain, move, and it moves. It's coming from that place of knowing your authority and knowing your authority because you come from a place that is inspired.
Yeah, you come from the creator of creation.
Right.
You know, we got it. Let me see what else came up this year. Well, I think these two things go hand in hand. One that I think is a forever curriculum. I don't think this is like just a 2017 uh-huh. thing. I feel like this is a life's work thing because the minute we put on this human costume, our soul has to start discerning what is soul and what is form. Mm. What is Purusha? What is Prakriti? What is authentic me and what is everything else? What yeah. is the stuff that keeps getting yes. on me that's actually the Maya of the world?
Yeah.
So one thing was dismantling conditioning. And we talk about conditioning specifically as we come into this world as this ball of light, this ball of Purusha, this energy, this creative source, this God stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don this human outfit. And then the second we do, it's like a child crying, you know, coming out of its mother. And then the doctor takes it away to cut the cord. It's like, pain, pain. Where did that safe place go? Like the second we arrive here, it's like, wow, the lights are bright and the noises are loud. And it starts putting conditioning on us where we start to say, is it safe? Am I okay? Do people love me? Should I act a certain way?
Yeah.
Would people love me more if I did this? And it starts so young that sweet babies that we are do our very, very best. And everyone you meet truly is doing their very best. If from the time they came out of the womb, they have been scared that someone is going to leave them or they're not going to be enough or something might go wrong or I might not be okay.
Yeah.
You know, so learning how to dismantle those stories of I'm not okay, the story of lack. And I think that in standing for goddess energy, the goddess energy is such an abundant energy. It's such a powerful energy. It's such an attractive energy that, of course, as you start making yourself that bigger space, what comes up is everything unlike that energy, which is the I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I think I am?
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair that I could have more when someone else has less. Well, why is there a feeling of more and less?
Yeah.
Do I deserve this? So I feel like as we take a stand for the things we commit to,
yes.
Whether it's a New Year's resolution or a New Year's intention or a New Year's word or this new energy and this idea of bringing in something more that we
yeah.
want, then the conditioning rises as the thing that we want rises in us. We have to know that when the wave comes in, there's a lot of sand that gets kicked up.
Yeah.
And so it's very challenging. It brings me to my second point, understanding what is us and what is not. When the sand is really, really kicked up in the water, it's hard to discern what is water and what is sand because they feel very enmeshed.
Mm.
But we can always know that the sand is still a grain and the water is still a liquid, even if they feel all mixed up. And so part of taking a stand for any word or any year or any new thing, any new dream, any new vision, is knowing that within that vision will also come with it all those pebbles in your feet, in your shoes. And it's always our job to say, the pebbles coming along the journey with me doesn't mean that I've done something wrong. It actually means I've done something right.
Yes.
It actually means I'm standing for and becoming bigger. I'm unfolding. And so with it will also unfold the conditioning that now wants to be dismantled because I've outgrown it.
Yes. Oh.
Growing pains.
It's a natural part of it.
It's a natural part.
You know, and I also want to say to whoever's listening, in terms of as we keep talking about goddess energy, this isn't just for women.
Oh, that, goodness,
right?
No.
So this is, you know, all of us, men and women, have both inside, have the divine feminine and have the divine masculine. And one of the things that we're talking about is what has been suppressed for so long is that divine feminine. And we all have that creative force inside of us, that in us, which kicks up the sand and the waves and the water, right? In us, that wants to be unearthed. And that part of us is the part that is accessed through this deep listening that we're talking about. So just so that, you know, for all my gentlemen friends,
it's all inclusion all the time.
What? Same channel. You know, on that thing of, you know, what is me and what is not me, I wanted to talk about, well, there's two things I want to talk about.
Give me both.
Okay. Well, the idea of Dharma first.
Yes.
We have talked about this quite a lot this year, and we've talked about it this year because it was one of the curriculums, right? I was watching this David Bach video earlier today. Do you guys know David Bach? He did. He wrote the book The Automatic Millionaire, right? And he talks a lot about pay yourself first, right? And this year, you and I talked a lot about Dharma first.
Mm-hmm.
Not saving that part of you that is you, the part of you that is your creative outlet.
The joy part of you.
For after all the to-dos are done.
Dessert first.
So, you know, the idea that there will never be time for Dharma if you're waiting for everything else to get done to do your Dharma, right? But something happens when we put Dharma all the way in the very beginning is we feel on purpose. We feel full of joy. We feel united with our true self. It becomes so much easier to know what is you and what is not you when you have committed to your Dharma and doing your Dharma before everything else.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, it becomes really easy to recognize what is essential.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, the deep encouragement at Create, we talk about reclaiming every artist's true expression. And I think that true expression, right, is that part of their Dharma that wants to be reclaimed, and taking that out of hiding and saying, yes, this. And that we don't have to do it as a layaway plan.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah, it's not a retirement strategy.
Mm-mm, no.
It's today.
It's
now.
Today.
It's
right
here.
Right. The dream is activated the moment we say today, right?
We've always joked and said, you know, we love to travel together, and we commit to really trying to do like one great mm-hmm. vacation a year. And
maybe two.
At least one. We go to Europe. Mm-hmm. We really try to like embrace and create that time to do that and actually like plan ahead to create the financial means to do that because it's such a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And we always say like we want to be able to do this while we can still climb the rocks.
Yes.
And do all the things and not get to the place where we've waited to do it when our bodies can no longer do all the things that we would have wanted to do in that place.
Exactly. It's like I'm going to travel to all of the beautiful countries where I want to have lovers while I have the spring in my step and the long hair to flirt with. Why would I wait?
Why wait? When there is a lover, a plane right away.
Just a plane right away. Or maybe right outside your door. But the point is, do it now.
Do it now.
Do it now. Life is for living and life is for joy.
Yeah. And we all had the experience, I think, of how quickly 2017 came and went.
Yes.
And you know, we have so many breaths. We have so much prana in
yes.
our bodies to spend it. And we never want to get to the place where we feel like we were trying to get all the things we thought we should do finished
mm-hmm.
so that we could do what we want to do. We must do what we were born to do. We must do what we want to do. How do you know it's what you were born to do? Because you want to do it.
That, right. It always comes back to that first chakra. I have the right to have because I am.
Because I am, because I'm here.
That's right. And so there's nothing I need to do
or earn
or get approval of.
No need to deserve it.
No validation from an outside source because it's in me. I get it.
You get to have it.
And on that brings me to my second point. The second thing I wanted to share is the idea of a love team. Mm. And we've talked earlier this year about the unseen hands, right? That we are so supported by the universe. And whether or not you want to imagine invisible entities with you everywhere you go that have your back, that are working on your support, or you just like knowing that there's a field of love that is around you all the time that has your back. I think so often there's so many people I talk to and they wake up scared.
Yeah.
They wake up thinking that there's not enough.
Yeah.
They wake up thinking that they're not good enough, or that people are against them, or that life is against them. And I think something that you and I stand for strongly is say, oh, honeys, of course you're going to feel depressed because the tape gets played the other way around.
That's right.
Right? The life is screaming your name. There are cheerleaders from every side. You don't even know how many people are waiting to hold the baton to help you accomplish everything. And so that's why you can take the trip to somewhere you've never been before. That's why you can cross the room and flirt with someone that looks exciting. That's why you can sit down and start writing, because you have infinite support. It never runs out.
And we often think that we have to have the whole thing figured out before mm-hmm. we do the first thing. But I think knowing you have a love team is also knowing I'm only responsible for a piece of it. You know, it's like, I don't have to talk on this whole podcast. Kristen will talk half the time. You know, we have support. I don't know how many people have said to us over the last year, you know, on the subway, in their car, on the freeway, you know, hiding in a closet after work. They put the podcast on and they hear us in their ears. That's exactly how it works. There's like this army, this team that loves you, you know, whether it shows up in the bodies of us, or whether it shows up in a coworker, or in your child's sweet face, or in a stranger, or in a dance class. If you are willing to show up, and you're willing to show up in the truth and in the belief that there is love there for you, then let love reveal itself.
Oh, Natalie, sometimes you say things, it does things to my body. You guys, I'm having the full...
I know it's good when she starts running her fingers through her hair.
I get orgasmic about the message of love.
The message all right. of love.
Give me your next one.
That was it.
That was it? That, okay.
That's all I got.
Okay, I think I have...
I worked on a lot of things.
Yeah, you did. It was very sexy. I have one last thing then.
Give it to me.
Okay. And this, you know... This is a nice segue, because this does set us up for, we have this little excursion we're doing in March to Paris. We're doing a retreat in Paris, and it's pleasure in Paris. And you guys, you may laugh when we say this to you, but pleasure is something Natalie and I have worked on.
No, this is a serious, I laugh because I'm remembering the first day Kristen and I ever went on a shopping spree together, and both of us with shaking hands, scared to put our cards down because we didn't deserve to buy a new dress.
That's right.
We know what pleasure brings up. We know how scary it feels when you take a stand that you get to have something beautiful that you want, that you desire, for no other reason than you want it.
Oh, like the judgment that comes up.
The shame.
The is this okay? The feeling of guilty.
Should I give to someone else first and take what's left?
Do you know what has, my whole life, this has been an issue that I've just started to heal from. I never wanted to say what I was doing because I was afraid it would make people feel bad.
Yeah.
So I was afraid of bragging.
Yes.
Right? I was afraid to say all the great things that are happening in my life. I mean, you will joke with me all the time. You're like, oh, I have to tell people that you got nominated for a Tony because you'll never say it, right?
Yes, I always have to tell everyone this is my friend who's been nominated for a Tony, because otherwise you will never know that.
And it's so funny because I think, and you talked to me about this too before, that when you were a little kid, your parents were worried that you might like win all the awards.
That's
and then
right.
People might feel bad, right?
I went to like a 60-person school, so winning all the awards was not actually the biggest accomplishment, but in my little sweet 7-year-old heart, I was really like the queen of the castle.
Yeah.
And, you know, my parents were really mindful, like, well, we don't want her to be like an egomaniac, so we should really like try to give her consciousness around, well, think about how the other kids feel who didn't get to win.
Yes.
Right? And of course, in my mind, I completely like perverted the message to say like, oh, if I win, it means someone else loses. Oh, winning is bad because someone else will feel bad. Oh, don't win. Or if you do win, don't tell anybody.
But now it feels like the curriculum wants to be, brag loudly. Shout. Declare. Testimony is actually the word. Talk about the miracles that the divine is doing in your life. Say it loud, say it proud, and say it so everyone knows it's possible.
That's right.
So it's like that hide it under a bushel.
Yes.
Like, we must, all of us, talk actively and loudly about the miracles that are occurring in our life, and we must say it for each other so that we all know it's possible.
Because it's a story of hope in a world that is constantly talking about what's wrong, what's damaged, what can't be saved, what can't be fixed.
Yes.
It is a story of hope to say, there is joy here, there is love here, there is a miracle here, there is creation here. There is joy in that. And if someone else is triggered by that, amazing!
Fantastic.
Because now they can see a curriculum that can take them to the next level if they're willing to work through their own jealousy or greed or whatever it is that comes up.
See, we are not responsible for handling other people's triggers. That's their work. Our work is to handle our own, which is to show us where our work is to do, right? And we are all to be lighthouses, to shine the light so bright that people know where they can go.
And I love that Michael Beckwith said, high tide rises all boats. So we may sit in our own boat and feel so scared to rise, and what's everyone going to think? And then you get brave enough to look out the window and you see that we're all rising.
We're all rising together. That's what we came here to do, is to raise each other up. So this year, Natalie and I studied pleasure. And we know without a doubt, and we say it all the time, so you know it already, how desire is divine. It's put there by the universe that wants you to experience it. And here's the thing. Pursuing desire, pursuing your pleasure, is actually how the universe, and I'm going to say it, makes love to you, right? So imagine this universe that wants you to have all these wonderful things. So it's constantly inspiring you to do this would be fun, to go here, to try this, to make this. And every time you say no to that, every time you dim that inside of you, you are closing the door on how the universe wants to love you and pleasure you and delight you.
Mm.
Our job is to say yes to those impulses that come in, especially when we don't know the how.
Especially. And for example, you might be listening to this right now, and I'll use this as an example because this is what we're talking about. You may be thinking, going to Paris in March with Kristen and Natalie and John and, you know, eating a baguette and seeing beautiful art and dancing in Paris with new friends, that is calling so much on my heart. I want to be there. I have a desire to be there. And now the ego voice.
Mm-hmm.
But. And this decision becomes the crux of you understanding your relationship with your desire.
Yes.
And so you have an opportunity, and it doesn't mean you need to sign up for Paris, but you have the opportunity to say, so what happens inside of me when I really desire something? What does the no voice say? What does the ego voice say? And at least be willing to use this example as a way to have the conversation with yourself, whether you come to Paris or not, but as an opportunity to say, where does my desire speak loud and clear to me, and where am I not willing to be in that conversation?
Right, because that but voice is the voice of the ego. So I think if we could, you know, really teach what we've been studying in ourselves, is every time there's a desire, that's life saying go there, okay? So when life gives that desire, then the fun job becomes, oh, so I have this whole love team now that is conspiring for this desire. I have the entire universe that wants me to have this thing. Well, I'm so curious.
Mm.
I'm so curious of what's the right next step.
Mm.
I'm so curious to how this is going to get funded. I know it is going to get funded because I wouldn't have the desire if it wasn't.
Mm.
I am so excited and interested on how this wants to reveal now. And now all I have to do is go back to listening and take the step that I'm told to take with the confidence that it's all working in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
Or as our buddy Rob Bell likes to say, it's all rigged
in our favor. And let's try to live from that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your word is for 2018, this might be a great time to just think about what you want to call in, what you want to be intentional about, what you want to work on. Know that whatever you call in is going to bring up everything unlike itself. And that Ooh. Is the joy of working on it. That yeah. is the joy of being in this human body and getting to know ourselves as a spirit in this form.
Yes. Now, Natalie.
Now, Kristen.
What is your word for 2018?
Well, I have two words because yeah. I'm an abundant girl.
Yeah, you are.
My first word is trust. And that involves trusting divine as a present and partner in my life. And it also involves entrusting myself. And if I am going to trust myself, then I need to take better care of myself. And for me, that means saying no more often. Because when I continue to overextend myself, then I don't actually trust myself that I'm being a good steward of myself. So in order to earn my own trust, I have to take real good care of myself, say no a little bit more, stop overextending myself, and really put my desire and my dharma first. That's how I'm going to trust myself most this year. And trust that the universe will be my perfect partner in all of that. My second word for the year was given to me by beautiful Sarah Louise, who came to Create the other day and blew us away when she spoke about A Course in Miracles. And this word she specifically spoke just rocked my world, so I knew I had to incorporate it. Magnitude. And she specifically spoke about us living on our throne of magnitude. And so I just want to bring in that energy as well, that I can trust myself to take great care of myself. And as I do, watch it grow.
Oh, stunning. It's so funny. You're going to laugh. I have two as well. Well, they're more like phrases. But my first one is the powerful no.
Ah, the powerful see, we always no. get the same thing.
Same channel. The idea of, may I give up good, may I say no to good for great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And no in knowing that time is my currency, mm. knowing in what I'm worth, mm. Knowing where I want to spend time in communion with my light. Mm. The powerful no.
Beautiful.
And the other one is rebellion. I'm studying rebellion this year.
Atta girl.
Yeah. You know, I think part of when we talk about conditioning is, you know, the part of me that was conditioned to be a good girl and mm-hmm. follow the rules and get all the straight A's. Mm-hmm. And the goddess inside of me actually came to upset things.
Right.
To throw over the
we
apple
came
cart.
Came to mess it up.
Came to mess it up and leave it different. So
yeah.
Rebellion, to ignite rebellion, to stand for it, to stand for the revolution that is occurring within mm. and everywhere around.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yes.
What a great year.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you, friends. Again, if you are interested in pleasure in Paris, and I know you are, you can already taste the croissant, please check out www.thecreateseries.com under retreats. It's going to be so fabulous. We're about halfway sold out, so if you are interested, get on it. We also have our online video course on the Chakra Series, How to Manifest Woo! A Dream, Bringing an Idea to Manifestation. This is a great time of year to do a practice like that, so you can check that out also on our website. I also have an online class coming up called The Path of Least Suffering. That is right. Yoga has a darshana, a psychology around how we can move out of suffering. And it's all about balance, folks. It's about getting out of the fire or out of the lethargy, wherever we find ourselves, and finding that beautiful balance point with consistent action that transcends willpower and actually allows us to have harmony in our relationships and our projects and our bank accounts. It's a very powerful course. It's 6 weeks. It's online. You can do it in your pajamas, and it's going to be powerful, and it starts January 16th, so I hope you check that out.
If you are in Los Angeles, on Sunday, January 7th, we are doing a special workshop with Anthony Mindell.
Ooh.
He is a badass.
So badass.
Master. Like, I want to say, like, not just an acting coach, he's like a philosopher of life. He creates massive breakthroughs. And this is our first time. We did an incredible, exciting podcast where we were like, oh, you're our brother from another mother.
So much that we did two
versions.
Part
that,
one and two.
And then we're going to teach with him this upcoming Sunday in Los Angeles. If you go to our website and go under classes, you can find out more about it. I am teaching my Write Your Souls project. We have a new class starting this January, so you can also go to our website and look at online classes.
Kristen's teaching me how to write this year. That's another thing that's happening.
Don't worry if you've never written before. That's what we do. We just plug right into your soul. It knows what to do.
That's what she keeps telling me, so I'm going to do it, friends.
I'm so excited. We love you.
We love you so much. Welcome 2018. We love you. Thank you for being with us. And here is to the most amazing new year.
This year we came to do it, friends. We're all raising our game.
That's it.
If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!